This is the DPHRO and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.
The number one pick in the NHL draft, but the minute can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's
cut on every trash, EMT for short. Wonder if we best, what you peep the score. Up at the crack of dawn, top stories of the morning. While you yawning, grab your coffee, rise to shine with 98.7. This is drop time. We provide highlights from your favorite teams. Got Dave and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
Well, I wish today was a Thursday so that Rick DiPietro, the great Rick DiPietro, was opening the show with his wise remarks and his wittiness. But no, it is a Monday, and not only is it a Monday, it's a rainy, miserable Monday, almost as if God is looking down saying, I'm weeping with you. I'm weeping with you, New York football fans. It is December the 6th, 2021. Lot to do, lot of negativity, but before we get to that negativity, I say good morning to one Rick DiPietro. Good morning, Rick.
Good morning, David. You will not bring me down. You will not. Knicks were awful. Doesn't matter. Jets didn't prepare for Gardner Minshew. Doesn't matter. Giants offense, although I'm bullish. Bullish about this offense. It's going to figure it out. Will not bring me down. Milo, well, DiPietro's my team. Two convincing wins this weekend. Two.
Nice.
Even yesterday at 4:15 on a football Sunday. I mean, what
Who
are we
schedules
doing?
These
what
games?
What are we doing?
Who schedules these games?
I can't take it. What are we doing?
I don't know.
I would rather the 7 a.m. Give me the 7 a.m. on a Sunday. I don't care. Give me 6 a.m.
If you told me you could play at 4:15 in the afternoon or 4:45 in the morning, I would take 4:45 in the morning.
All day, every day.
Right?
All day, every Sunday. I had to leave before the fourth quarter of the Jets game.
Oh, well, you missed a lot.
Oh, I didn't miss it. I had to watch. That was the best part. Coming off the high of an unbelievable win, I got to come home and watch the fourth quarter of the Jets followed up by the entirety of the Giants game.
Oh. You should get a check. Either the NFL or the local teams or someone should send you a check for sitting there and watching. To watch the games live is difficult enough. To have to sit there and DVR it, and I'm sure you knew the results, right?
Yeah, I knew that. I had my father-in-law with me.
So to know the results and have to sit through what we saw yesterday, you should get combat pay or something, a stipend at least.
I should get per diem, something. Give me something.
Well, at least you should get like a ring at the door and oh, listen, we sent you pizzas. Like, you know what? There's pepperoni, there's mushroom, there's extra cheese. Because why? Because if you're willing to tape these games and watch them on the DVR, you deserve pizzas from us.
Something. Antidepressant. Something. It's amazing, too. We went from Victory Monday to now back to the same old New York football.
It is. I mean, yesterday was unbelievable how bad it was. The Jet, and I get it, the Jets' defense is bad, but how can your defense look like that? And the Giants' offense is just, it is so bad to watch. Now, I will say this. I don't know how. And I get it that the quarterback's not playing and you've got injuries, and I understand that. I do not know how there are people out there who will say, you know what, you've got to keep Joe Judge. Like, this guy is the coach that you move forward with and build around. Even if you're on the fence, how you keep Joe Judge. And all we've heard is that they're going to. I don't know how you keep this guy in this position.
Yeah, but I don't think it's keeping Joe Judge for the right reason, is it? I mean, the reason that I've heard is because they want to get back to having some semblance of continuity. And I guess, now this is what we've heard, that John Mara was disappointed that he didn't keep Ben McAdoo. And he doesn't want to make that same mistake. They don't want to go through this cycle of every 2 years trying to find a new head coach.
But Ben McAdoo led you to the postseason.
No, I understand that.
Right, I mean, Ben McAdoo, if I said to you the Ben McAdoo era over the last decade, that is the best season you have, and it's not close. What has Joe Judge done that you look at and you say, yeah, you know what? We need, in fact, to keep this guy's head coach.
Wins and losses wise, nothing. Nothing. And
game management?
And using timeouts properly, nothing. No, but here's the thing, though. The only reason at this point, with the results that you've seen so far over the last year and now 12 games, is we don't want to continually go into every 2 years looking for a new head coach. At some point, we need to have some stability. And behind closed doors, what we don't see, because all we see is what's on the field, is that they like the message being sent through that building. That would be the only reason, because the results wouldn't give you any reason to keep him.
So you're going to keep him just because you don't want to be the team, not because you think he's great, not because you look at him and say this is the future, just because you don't want to continue to fire head coaches?
Yes.
That's the biggest loser reason I've ever heard.
Of course it is. And this is why your team has morphed into the Jets and you've been dysfunctional over the last
decade. Oof.
Yeah, we'll get down. I mean, I was going to give you the last 5 years, but we can go decade if you
decade.
Want.
They have one winning season in the last decade, and it's not getting better.
No, it's definitely not getting better. I mean, your offense is an embarrassment. I don't know what's worse, watching your offense or listening to Chris Myers do play-by-play, because he's the worst.
Chris, oh, my God.
The worst.
Like it's bad enough that you have to watch that, and now you have to listen to Chris Myers do the game. It's like, why? What did I do to deserve this?
You want me to tell you why I really hate him? I mean, besides the lack of energy and everything else?
Lack of energy
is I try to take notes during these games, and I would like, especially on big plays, like give me like a yardage maybe. Like, oh, that was a Devontae Parker catch for 16 yards. Doesn't say a word. We'll never say how many yards it's for. I'm like, come on, Chris. Now I got to go on ESPN to check how many yards it was for. It's a pain in my ass.
You know who else he got? I don't know if you picked this one up yesterday because there's a lot going on. I know you're watching on DVR. He also had confusion with Lorenzo Carter.
Yeah, he had confusion the entire game. And then they're talking about, well, you know, hopefully Daniel Jones' tight neck loosens up so he can play. Come on, man. Are we really? We're going with that?
We're not going to see Daniel Jones again this year. I don't think so. Which is
the doctors are nervous. He can't get cleared for contact because he's got a stiff. Come on, man. You ain't missing a game because you have a tight neck. Like, if I went to the doctor and said, hey, doc, yeah, I got this muscle spasm in my neck, I'm afraid you might take a hit with a spat. No, it's not. That's not why you would miss a game.
Right.
It's got to be more than that.
They said he wasn't cleared for contact.
Exactly.
You don't get cleared for contact because you have a tight neck.
No.
You might not be able to play because you're in too much pain or can't move your head. Yes, that makes sense. But not cleared for contact. Something is clearly wrong with him. I give up. Like I don't know what I've done, if I've wronged someone, if I need to apologize to someone. I give up. I'm not kidding. I hate watching the Giants. I hate it.
It's not an easy watch. It isn't. Yeah, I mean, it really isn't. Because there isn't much this team does well. They really don't. I mean, and if you had any chance in that game, and I mean, theoretically, you did have a chance. That third and six, Devontae Parker catch was the nail. Was that it?
That was a great catch, huh?
That was a great catch, but that was it. That was your chance. Get off the field there. There's just over 4 minutes left. Maybe you can find a way to score a touchdown.
Let me tell you something.
But it wasn't going to. They weren't going to score a touchdown. They weren't.
If Devontae Parker doesn't use his hands on the play, and the ball hits off his helmet and bounces out of bounds, and they punt the ball to the Giants, there is no way the Giants take the football, go down the field. The Dolphins could have done, like, you know, like in diving, you use degrees of difficulty.
Yep.
Yeah. They could have said, you know, we're not going to play with 10 guys. We're going to play with 9. We're going to play with 9 guys, and we're confident we can stop you. And I'm also confident that they could have stopped the Giants. The Giants, in a league where it's catered to the offense, can't score a touchdown. This offense is setting the game back years. That's how bad it is.
Yeah, and I understand the injuries and everything else, and no Tony, no Shepard, but still, I mean, you got a first round pick tight end, you got a second overall pick running back. I mean, Galladay did play, ends up getting dinged up.
I got Barkley dropping the ball all over the place.
Hey, 2 drops.
Oh, my God.
But that's another one of those games from him. They had the 1 carry for 23 yards and then 10 carries for 22 yards. I've
this
never
is
seen
what he is.
I've never seen a team have more negative run plays in my life.
They are just absolutely dreadful. And then you get the low of the loss in the game, and it's down in Miami, and there was a big giant contingent. And you're like, God, it can't get worse. And JoJo's like, hang on a second. Let me take the podium. Let me address the media just to make you feel even worse. If you haven't heard this, let's take a listen to Joe Judge. Couple of sound bites. Firstly, on the loss, here is the Giants head coach.
You credit that team. Obviously, they went out there and did enough to win the game. There's a lot of things that I saw today in the way we played. A lot of things that are moving in the right direction. A lot of things I'm very pleased with in terms of how we competed. We were able to make some stops at critical moments, able to make some good decisions. A lot of guys stepped up in different situations, but ultimately, we got to make more plays, got to take advantage of the opportunities in front of us, and got to make sure that we capitalize on opportunities when we have a chance to go ahead and make big-time, you know, swings in the game.
Is he out of his mind?
A little bit.
I mean, really? Like, does the team psychiatrist run in and be like, Joe, listen, you see me right after this. You the progressing? Things are looking good? What is he talking about?
Well, I will say this. Now, and I wouldn't get in front of a microphone and start talking about that with the temperature of the fan base right now, watching especially this offense, because it's embarrassing. It really is. I mean, there was one point where your favorite Chris Myers talks about how embarrassing it is that, and you'll remember this because I'm sure it was your favorite part of the game, where we went sack, Giants take their first timeout because the play clock's at zero, come out another sack,
yep.
And then they take the delay game penalty on 3rd and 30 with Saquon Barkley lined up at quarterback.
Yeah.
End of the third quarter. Thanks for coming.
It's a treat. Or how about as the clock is running down in the first quarter and you can take the end of the quarter, flip fields, and move on? No. Let's take, for some unknown reason, a timeout in that situation.
He likes going that way. He likes it, but that was the
elements. Maybe
it
was a big win.
Yeah, yeah. We want to keep the ball going this way. No, the one bright spot, I guess, if you want to pull something, you know, positive out of this, because I don't want to get phone calls that would be too negative, was, I mean, the Giants' defense in the second half held up their end of the bargain. They gave you a shot
in the second half. They compete.
So, but again, your offense is so bad. I mean, they're really, I don't know, it just, it never felt like.
Because it never was.
The Giants really had a chance.
Because it never was. Here's another one. This is a treat. What makes you feel, I can't even believe he could say words like this, what makes you feel the offense is progressing here?
I think right now there's some opportunities we have as far as getting the ball down the field, pushing down the field, making plays. I like some of the plays that, you know, Evan was able to come up with, some of the contested catches Kenny was able to come up with, you know, some of the things Booker's doing with some catch and runs on the screen. You know, Kyle Rudolph's doing a good job with some of the balls getting vertical, producing first downs. There's a lot of things moving in the right direction in terms of that. I think our pass protection as a whole, although there's some plays obviously we got to look at and keep on improving on, but I'm encouraged by some of the things we're seeing out there in terms of how that group's progressing. We got to keep on doing a better job overall as a team.
How does he say that?
Is he serious?
I wonder if he's like in a roast or something. Like, how does he say these things? Heading in the right
direction.
I think
the pass protection was good at all.
I like a lot of that. They have 250 yards of offense. 250 yards of offense yesterday. They put up 9 points, and he sees, oh, well, Kyle Rudolph did this really well, and Evan Engram. I mean, if you didn't know, and you just heard that soundbite, what would you think the Giants did offensively?
Oh, they hung 30 on you.
Right. 23... 400 yards of offense and just didn't capitalize down at first and goal in the big moment of the game, right?
Yeah, I mean, but they scored 9 points. Nine. The pass protection was good. I mean, what game was he watching?
I mean, Mike Glennon was under duress.
He's in concussion protocol. You have to play Jake Fromm.
Here's the thing, and I think a lot of Giants fans feel like this now. Who cares?
Well, you really? Should care. Well,
no,
you should
who care. Who cares?
You do not want Daniel Jones missing games. You don't.
Well, no. I want to see Daniel Jones. But if Daniel Jones isn't going to play, do I care if it's Mike Glennon or Jake Fromm? I don't care.
No, but to sit there and say with a straight face that you thought the pass protection was good, I mean, Glennon took a beating. He's now in concussion protocol. The longer that game went, the more you could see how the pressure was affecting him. He started to get happy feet in the pocket. No, man, come on. That's ridiculous.
It's disgusting.
Say something like that.
I mean, you're at the Chargers, loss. Home to the Cowboys, loss. At Philadelphia, I would think that's a loss. Then you're at Chicago, that'll be a pillow fight. And then home to Washington. I mean, there's a real chance the Giants go 4-13 this year. A real chance that they don't win another game.
I couldn't even imagine being on the defensive side of the ball right now with how bad that offense is. I mean, now we come out of the second half, we force the Dolphins 3-and-out, 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 and then a 4-0. And our offense does nothing.
Yeah, no, you had no chance. You had zero. They could have just given you possession after possession after possession, and you were not going to put points on the board. You had no chance in that game. You have no chance on the season, and now they're going to give this guy a vote of confidence. I'm done.
Let me ask you a question, too. I'm watching all these games yesterday, and I'm seeing these teams, like these desperate teams. I mean, Seattle with the fake punt.
Which is a great play call.
Like, I mean, even Denver. I mean, Denver's in the middle of this thing. Still has a chance to make the playoffs. Like, fourth down going for it. I mean, they had a 20-play drive. They get no points on the 20-play drive. But, I mean, there's a sense of desperation. I mean, do you see that from the Giants?
I don't see anything.
Nothing.
I don't see anything from this team right now.
Like, oh, no, we'll punt. We're good. We'll play the field
they
position
punt
game.
In fourth and four situations, you know, late in the, no, it's grotesque. Watching the Giants, it'll make your eyes bleed. I mean, the Lions are better than the Giants right now.
No, Dave, I mean, I mean, maybe the Jaguars, and that's with the rookie quarterback. I can't think of many teams that have a worse offense right now than the Giants.
No. It is rock bottom in the NFL. Rock bottom. And Dave Gettleman should, I mean, just, I never want to hear from him again. Ever. And I'm at the point where if they bring Joe Judge back, I am a tremendous doubter. And maybe that's unfair, but I don't think I'm alone.
Thanks for listening to the DPetro and Rothenberg podcast.
And welcome aboard.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
You just told us off the air, and I'm going to bring it on the air. Apparently, you're in your palatial estate. Dropping bombs against me and my name because I pushed us to take the Eagles. See, you're the blame guy.
No, I'm not.
You are the blame guy. Looking for blame guy.
No. I, like Robert Saleh, thought that Jalen Hurts was going to play. And then once I found out he wasn't, I may or may not have MF'd you a couple times. Once that game started, and it looked like no one
Gardner
on either
Minshew
side.
Gardner Minshew looked like Steve Young in that game yesterday.
But did you watch the first half? No one played defense the first half. Nobody.
They won by 15 points.
Eventually, yes. But early on, I'm saying. Early on, I was.
But that's not fair. I deserve the benefit of the doubt. You never know when the Jets are going to implode.
No, it's going to happen. And it happened in the third quarter. They had the ball for 70 seconds in the third quarter.
It was a disaster. Oh, my God. So that's three in a row we've won now. Three in a row.
Yeah, we're on a little bit of a streak here. Let's keep it going.
A little bit of a streak.
I can't believe Detroit wins, too. They picked Detroit plus the points. I'm like, oh, my goodness, well, that's a sketchy pick.
Yeah, I didn't like that at all. They had it regardless, but what are the Vikings doing?
No idea.
They're rushing three the entire final drive with no timeouts. They let Jared Goff go 75 yards right down the field for a touchdown.
It didn't matter, though, at that point. Once they weren't covering, I hope they lose.
Sure. But you know what I was really hoping? I was hoping you got, like, the pick six.
That's what I was hoping.
Or the fumble six, and then all of a sudden, and then I could hear those guys whining about it. But what are you doing on the last play?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't. I'm happy. Listen, I'm happy for the Lions.
So am I.
You can see how they reacted, but that Minnesota team, I can't figure them out.
They stink.
And Justin Jefferson had a huge game, too.
Yeah, Thielen got hurt. If he doesn't get hurt, who knows what happens. But they are real. That is just horrendous. And that could be the death knell for them. Right? What are they, 5-7 now?
Yeah, that whole bottom of the NFC is a jumbled mess.
You're going to get at least one, if not two teams that are not all that good in the postseason in the NFC. Right now, I think it's what the Niners, who are okay, and Washington, who wins again.
Well, not having Deebo Samuel... Really hurts the Niners. Really hurts the Niners. Kittle had a huge game. I was talking to RJ during the break. I mean, the officiating, and you saw it in the Jets game too. I mean, Saleh was losing his mind the entire game. But, I mean, that third down play in the end zone in the Niners game, it's a joke. Guy got mugged in the end zone. Should have been a touchdown. Nothing. No call.
No. Just off. We say it every week. I mean, every week we could say, all right, now let's get into how bad the officiating is in the NFL. Because it is every single.
Well, but you know what it is, though? It depends on whoever the officiating crew is. Like, some officiating crews have no problem inserting themselves in the games. Like, even in big spots. Like, oh, no, people came here to watch me. And then there's the other ones that don't want to make that call because they don't want to
know
what
you're going to get.
You never know.
It's like potluck.
As Brian Kelly would say, The officiating is like a box of chocolates.
Yeah. You don't have enough Southern drawl, though. You need a little more.
My family.
All right. 1-800-919-3776. So, Giants fans, how today, after what you've seen this year, can you defend Joe Judge and say, yep, bring him back. Make him the focal point of this team. Bring him back as head coach. I do not know how.
Yeah, but more importantly, though, don't ask the question like that, because it's not just that. You have to put it into context, too, because Dave Gettleman is gone.
Gone.
So now, do I want to limit my GM candidates because they're going to be forced to keep Joe Judge? Is that worth it?
Do you think it could fall apart still? Like, do you think if they finish 4-13 that there's a chance that he goes?
I'll tell you what, right now, I mean, so I you know, my father-in-law's here, and he's a huge football fan.
How long is he staying for, by the way?
For a bit. And, well, because, I mean, this is, it's Thanksgiving, and then we have Christmas. So, I mean,
he's staying through December?
Yeah, it's an extended stay.
Wow.
It's nice. It's nice having
you
him.
You must like him, because if you didn't like him, you would be, I mean, just.
No, I love them.
Yeah.
Love them. So we're watching. He doesn't watch. Like, when he's here, he'll watch the Jets and Giants, but at home, he's usually watching, you know, highlights, or he watches every Bucks game. He actually said during the game, and I don't know, I don't remember who the player was, but one of the Giants players came off the field, and Joe Judge lit into him, and guy just walked right by him. And Cassie's dad immediately goes, "That's not good. That's not good at all."
None of this is good.
He walked right by him. Like, that's the only way to answer your question. That's the only way for this to go sideways, if you can tell that the team has quit on him.
Do you know where we are? I guarantee you that tons of people listening to our voices right now are rooting against the Giants. It is so bad that I guarantee you that a large portion of the fan base is rooting for the team to lose, so that maybe he goes and maybe that pick winds up being top four.
Yeah, I just don't understand how it continues to look as bad as it looks. Especially on the offensive side of the ball.
In a league where it's hard to do that. You say, well, you had Mike Glennon. You know what? Stop it. I mean, you go around the league and you look at the injuries, and you look at the quarterbacks that are I mean, the Bengals with a quarterback with a broken finger who couldn't hand off with his natural hand look better offensively. I mean, you look at Gardner Minshew yesterday. He went 20-25. Did the Jets know that Dallas Goedert was on the Eagles?
No. They weren't aware. Yeah, no. And they had no idea that all we heard all week was that there was a chance, a strong possibility that Jalen Hurts wouldn't play. And we went the whole week and didn't prepare for him. Didn't prepare for Gardner Minshew one time. Caught us off guard. We were surprised. Your head coach is a former defensive coordinator. And we had no idea.
To have your defense look like that. It's
they scored
it's
on every shocking. Possession except the last one.
I know. I know. They could have put up 50. It's unbelievable. All right, let's get to some of these calls. 1-800-919-3776. Cullum in the Bronx. I know, Cullum. I know. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
David, Ricardo, hi. We'll get right into it. No need to tell you patience. I'm done with Joe Judge. I mean, you know the whole thing with Herm Edwards. You play to win the game. I've seen him coach for the last 2 years. And we've seen it so many times. Even the announcers are screaming at it and saying it. He does not coach to win the game. That 4th-and-2 on Miami's own 40, on the Miami's 43, that was the opportunity right there. You go for it there. I guarantee every statistical category or whatever you want to call it says it's a better opportunity to go for it there. Even no matter how bad the Giants' offense is, it was a better opportunity to go for it there. And also, as soon as they scored the touchdown at halftime, all I thought to myself is that is a monster lead, and that is so insurmountable for the Giants to come back from. And okay, two more points. I agree with you that Daniel Jones is probably not playing this year. They have been atrocious with handling injuries and how they talk about it and what they say. And there's no way you miss a game with a stiff neck. They're not talking about it. They're not going to say it. They picked up Jake Fromm from State Farm or whatever. And it's so obvious that he's clearly not going to play for the rest of the year, or at least miss probably the next 3 games, if not. And I am so done with Saquon Barkley. I don't care how bad the offensive line is. If you're supposed to be a second overall pick, generational talent, as good and as well as Adrian Peterson and all these incredible running backs, why do you play happy feet? Why can't you just get what they give you? I saw on a play where he got lost of 5 yards and he bounces it to the outside on that sweep. They had a fullback going in and hit the hole. He could have ran right behind him and at worst gained a yard, and he bounces out, dances around, and it's minus five. It's atrocious. He cannot play football well anymore. I'm done, and I can't believe they're going to tell me and they're going to try to swing it that Joe Judge comes back. And I agree with you. I hope they lose because I want Joe Judge gone. There is no freaking reason he should be coaching this team. He plays to safely lose the game. We have nothing left. Why don't you go for it? Why don't you tell me everything I can, I'm going to try to win this game? If we ended up failing and they scored and we lost by freaking 20 instead of losing by 11, I would have been more happy because I know he tried everything he can to win.
It's awful. Cullum, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry you're going through this. I'm sorry I'm going through this. I'm sorry everyone is going through this. But you heard him. I'm telling you. You heard him. He's hoping they lose. Giants fans, either they don't care or we're in the worst position where you root for your team to lose because you don't want the quarterback back, you don't want the head coach back, and you want to improve that draft pick. That is a terrible way to live.
Of course it is. Of course it is. And he's not wrong, too. I mean, that second half, your defense was playing well. So you got the ball. It's fourth and two. You're down, 10-6. Miami's offense has done nothing so far. It's been three and out, and you decide you want to punt from the 46-yard line.
It's disgusting. It really is.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I'll give it to you whenever you want it.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
I don't know. I don't know if you do. What would you guess the Giants-Chargers spread is this week?
Giants Chargers
in
off
LA
to, off to
Giants,
Arizona
Chargers.
Yep, off to Arizona now to train before the game. I'm going to say Giants are getting.
It's got to be at least 9, right?
Whew. I'll say 7.5.
No way.
I'll say Giants plus 7.5.
10.5.
10.5.
Yeah.
No respect. None. Oh, actually,
what respect do they deserve?
No, I should have said higher too, because we don't even know who's playing quarterback yet.
It's going to be Jake Fromm, I'm sure.
I mean, that's just it couldn't get any worse. If it ends up being anyone but Daniel Jones, it's just it couldn't be any worse.
It's awful.
It's awful.
I mean, there is very little positive to have around the Giants. What do you think the Jets are number wise?
No, because that's another excuse too for Joe Judge. Well, it was quarterback. I mean, with all the injuries,
of course,
quarterback
I'm sure he'll play that all the way. That'll be his big hand.
You guys are in a bad spot, Dave.
A bad spot. Well, you hear Cullum, and we'll get to more calls. Giants fans are going to be beside themselves today, and rightfully so. And then the coach to have the chutzpah, which is a Yiddish word, the chutzpah, to sit there and give you, I see a lot of good things with this offense. You got to be, are you kidding me?
Yeah, that's delusional at that point.
And offensive line?
He's had some bad moments, too, with the headsets and all that other stuff. But, I don't know what game he was watching. Because, Mike Glennon got hit a lot in that game.
Offensive line was dreadful. The column is right. Saquon Barkley is just – and it gets me angry now. Because every time he runs the ball and dances around and loses yardage, I get angry at Gettleman. It's a disaster is what it is. Chad in Florida. Good morning, Chad. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Morning, guys. How's it going?
It's all right. It's going.
Oh, I hear you. Well, I'll tell you what. I agree with you guys. Joe Judge, it's time for him to go. I've had it up to here with him. You know, the play that did it for me yesterday was, I don't remember what long yardage situation was. You took a timeout to prevent a delay of game. And then on the same damn drive,
yep,
they get a delay of game.
Yeah, that was the third and 30.
Yeah, I don't understand that. That guy can't manage timeouts. He couldn't manage a 7-11, to be honest. But the injuries, too, the soft tissue injuries, you know, Shepard and Tony out, the soft tissue injuries, those are killing me. This team has just, I've got up to here with this team. Losing to the Dolphins yesterday was my last straw. It's unwatchable. I cannot watch it anymore.
That's what makes it
go,
even worse.
Gettleman needs to go.
Yep. That's what makes it even worse. And thanks for the call, Chad. He's right. It is unwatchable. It's not like you're losing games 31-27. You say, boy, it was exciting, and in the end they lost. Watching the Giants is, they are unwatchable. It is grotesque.
Well, it doesn't feel like it's getting any better.
It's getting worse.
Offensively, they were one of the worst. Were they the second worst team in the NFL last year offensively? And then you come into this year, and, it's more the same. They're the worst red zone team in the NFL. 9 points, Dave. Every rule is geared towards the offense having success in scoring points. And your team, last 3 weeks you've scored 10 points, 13 points, and 9 points. It's a problem.
It's a major problem. You're the worst offense in football right now. And the only other team that can even compete with you is Jacksonville.
But Dave, that team has a rookie quarterback with a rookie head coach, knowing going into the season that they were rebuilding and they were going to be bad. The Giants went out and spent money thinking they were going to be a team that could compete for the playoffs
right.
and be
they're,
good.
They're in, do you realize how bad their financial situation is moving forward?
Yes,
because they were all in to win this year.
Well, yeah, win and also find out whether or not they have a quarterback. Yes.
Right. So they're going to surround the quarterback with all these weapons. So we're going to have the answer. And you're going to get to the end of the year and you're not going to have the answer. Although not having it makes me think that you have it and you just don't want to face it. And the coach is what he is. It's gross.
Yeah. And what makes matters worse now, and I hate to just pour salt on your wounds right now.
I don't think you do.
Well, no, but here's the thing, though. And I do because I love you. My bubbla is that now Daniel Jones is hurt. If you could get one positive thing out of this season, a lost season, is
answers.
We need to definitively know whether or not Daniel Jones can play.
You know, someone called me on Saturday. That was a great point. Maybe it was even you on Friday. I can't remember. But if you don't know, don't you know?
Yeah, I would imagine at this point that if you don't know going into year four, then yeah. Usually after the first 3 years, you have a pretty good idea what a player is going to be.
So if you don't know, maybe you do know, in fact. Let's go to Angelo in the car. Good morning, Angelo. You're on 98.7.
Hey, Dave. How are you? What's up, Bert? Listen, Dave, I'm a big Giant fan like you. I threw an 11-year-old kid out of the basement because he's a Cowboy fan, my son's friend. You can't be blaming Judge. You want to blame Gettleman because he built a terrible offensive line, but what NFL team does good with no offensive line year in and year out?
Well, the Dolphins' offensive line stinks.
The Jets' offensive line, not so good.
The
Jets are horrible.
But the Dolphins' offensive line is bad.
But at least the Dolphins could run the ball. The Giants can't run the ball. So therefore, you can't pay it the ball.
The Dolphins don't. The Dolphins don't run the ball. Miles Gaskin and
they're better than the Giants.
No, I don't think so. Gaskin 15 for 44 yesterday. Ahmed 8 for 23. What's 44 and 23? 67? I think, right? Saquon Barkley.
The fact you have to ask me that is a problem.
Well, it's early. I'm very good at math until it gets complicated. And then Barkley 55, Booker 36. That, I believe, is 91. The Dolphins can't run the ball at all. They have no semblance of a running game.
No, they keep you honest with the run. Their offense is Tua getting the ball out of his hands quickly, and then, Jalen Waddle, those Gesicki, now they get Devontae Parker back. Those guys making plays after the catch.
Tua looks good.
Well, for what they're asking him to do, yeah.
He looks good.
And he's distributing the football. He's accurate.
Yeah.
They got a bye, now they're playing the Jets.
They could wind up 7-7.
But see, that's another team. Yeah, their offensive line stinks. They find a way to make it work. But more importantly, they do something really well, which is play defense.
Yes. They get after the quarterback at 18.
That's the problem. The Giants really don't do anything really well.
Really well, no. Their defense is good-ish.
Yeah, but when your offense is as bad as their offense is, your defense has to be elite.
Well, you'd have to have the 2000 Ravens to be able to deal with that Giants offense. Tito in Boston. Tito, you're next up on 98.7.
Hey, guys. Good morning. I don't want to be a dead horse. The first caller from this morning, he hit the nail on the head. This is bad. Look, I have a 16-year-old daughter who's a Giants fan, and she don't know a lot about football. I'm a high school football coach. This much she knows. That is bad. They don't look good at all. And that's how bad it is. A 16-year-old girl who doesn't know X's and O's, like, it just don't look good. It's literally saying that. I am so done. I, like, just clean house. I mean, Daniel Jones gone, Judge gone, Saquon gone, start all over. And I want to throw a name out there, okay? He failed big time as a coach. He failed big time, but
oh, that's
with
great.
The Raiders.
I can't wait for this one, Tito. He failed big time. Who do you have for us?
But check this out. He was 29 years old at the time, and it's Kiffin. Kiffin is totally, totally changed.
Oh, God.
You see it in him, the way he coaches and everything. He's much more mature now in everything.
There's no
he
way.
He will bring an explosive offense. You guys can disagree, but I think how immature were you at?
I'm immature now. That's not the point of maturity. Thanks for the call, Tito. It's not about being mature or immature. Do you know what would happen if Lane Kiffin came here to New York?
Yeah, I don't
large,
know.
Large, somewhat functional, complete child. Yeah. That's not about me being mature. I never debated that.
Yeah, I don't know if Lane Kiffin would work well as that. I don't think they would hire Lane Kiffin.
They would not. No. Could you see the Maras and Kiffin
no.
in a room with it?
No.
That would not. Oh, God, to be a fly on the wall of that one would be unbelievable. 1-800-919-3776. Now, when it's game time, it's Tully time. And Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey is best enjoyed with great friends during big games. So for Gangrene's December 12th matchup against the Saints, ESPN has given away a grand prize VIP reservation for six with food and beverage at the Stumble Inn on 2nd Avenue in New York City. Be the first caller right now, 888-987-ESPN. You'll be one of 10 qualifiers to win a $50 Fanatics gift card and be in the running to score a game day out on us, all from 98.7 ESPN. Let's spend a couple minutes on your Jets, and then we'll just kind of go back and forth in the 6 o'clock hour. Here's what I will say. At least the Jets gave you moments where you watch the game and you're like, oh, boy, that was promising and that looked good. And in the end, you lost to Philadelphia convincingly, but there were at least a few moments of positivity with the Jets yesterday.
Well, in the offense, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that was pretty much it. I mean, Wilson in the first half looked good. He looked really good. And then, I mean, Elijah Moore is a stud. I mean, those are the two positives come out of yesterday. You're going to be looking for another kicker because you can't kick an extra point.
Oh, my God.
I didn't even realize this because we watch so much stuff, you lose track. Do you realize how many kickers the Jets have had over the last 8 years?
8 years.
Last 5 years.
I'll say eight.
Yeah, I screwed that up. They've had eight. They're going to be nine now because they're going to need a new kicker. They've had eight kickers in the last 5 years.
But I don't understand. Like, how is it that there are just teams that no matter who, they just can't find a kicker? Like, the Chargers never have a kicker. The Jets never have a kicker. I don't understand. And then you look at, certain teams and the guy runs out on the field. You're like, God, this guy's great. And there's
this guy doesn't miss.
They don't have a kicker.
Yeah, it's amazing to me. It's amazing to me. But let's not focus on the negatives. The first half, Zach Wilson was...
He looked good.
Was good. He looked healthy and he looked fine. And then, I mean, third quarter, not so good. Defense, that really bothered me. And I don't know how Jets fans feel about it, but that really bothered me. Like, and I know we said this a couple different times, is that there were really no expectations wins and losses wise. It's just more how it looked. Like, you could lose a game, but as long as it looked like you were... well-coached, competent, right? Like, you were headed in the right direction. Like, there were positives to take out of the game. Zach Wilson looked good, or the defense looked good. But I said this to you a couple different times, and maybe it's unfair, but I don't think it is that at some point, if we weren't having, the wins to show for our effort, that at least with the new head coach, who we don't know whether or not he can coach or not yet. We don't. This is his first year doing it. Like, there would be some positive signs on the defense because, his expertise is the defensive side of the ball. Like, that would rub off on the defense. It really bothered me that they went into that game yesterday. And then you had Bryce Hall after the game say that they did not prepare the whole week for Gardner Minshew.
Well, let's take a listen to that. And I think that you're right, and I think that it should. And the calling card of the head coach, as he's a defensive mastermind, did not look at yesterday. Here is Bryce Hall asked if the team prepared for one Gardner Minshew this week.
Did you guys prepare for Minshew? No, we didn't. We were preparing for Jalen.
I mean, how? At a minimum, how do you not have a wrinkle of... We all knew. We all knew. And we knew on Friday that there was a very good chance he wasn't going to play. And Saturday, the report came out that, in fact, Hurts was not going to play. And you didn't prepare at all for the fact that you might see Gardner Minshew in this game?
Yeah, but even if like even if Jalen Hurts does play, like you go into the game, it's a legitimate game time decision. Like there's a chance he starts that game and gets hurt again in the first quarter, and then you're going to see Gardner Minshew.
Of course.
And those are two drastically different styles, right? I mean, it was evident. It was. I mean, that first half, I don't know if they had an agreement before the game, like no one's going to play defense in the first half of this game. But
it looked like a Pro Bowl.
Dude, Minshew and Goddard just dominated that game. Dominated the first half of that game.
I mean, Goddard was wide open time they threw the ball.
Did you see Ashton Davis bounce off of him?
Oh, on that first touchdown? Like the four? That was embarrassing. First of all, he was so wide open. Then he catches it, and you're like, all right, it's going to be first and goal. Nope, he's in.
No. He runs right by Mosley, and then Ashton Davis bounces off of him. I mean, it was embarrassing.
Was
it really
Mosley that in a punting situation jumped off sides?
Yes.
And gave him the first down?
Mosley did jump offside, yeah.
That too.
And they were all upset because it was, oh, no, it was the center. It was Kelsey. Come on, man, stop. There's no excuse for that.
No excuse at all. Just horrendous. Ira in Staten Island. Ira, feel a little better watching Zach Wilson yesterday?
Yeah, I told you guys at the end of last week, you know, going to the game and let me see Zach Wilson take a couple more baby steps, show some progress. He looked good. Granted, they were playing the Eagles defense. And just hear me out, because this is my theory on this whole thing. First of all, I think it's embarrassing that the coach has to make excuses that they didn't at least think about preparing for Minshew. And I think he's lost the locker room, because players usually don't talk out about coaching staffs at this point. And right now, Salah has to put a gag order on these guys, because what Mosley said before the game and what Hall said after the game, and I'm sure others said other things off the record to other reporters, it's a really bad sign in this coaching staff. But Wilson, you know, you see why they drafted him. You see the potential that this guy has. Unfortunately, I don't think Salah's going to benefit from Wilson's talent as a quarterback, or he's going to be gone next year. Because what took place on that field defensively yesterday, it's like a broken record, man. It's week after week after week. They're incompetent. And the Eagles, they came out. You know, don't say that it's the same system. Come on, Hurts doesn't throw for 100 and close to 200 yards in the first half of ball games. Minshew sliced and diced that defense. They played back. And then in the second half, when the Eagles go into the locker room, they sit down. You know what? We're in a shootout with this team right now. We got to change things up. So what do? They play ball control in the second half. They keep the Jets offense off the field. Wilson doesn't get his hands on the ball, so they're down by two scores. And then Mosley, you know, the great ex-Pro Bowl, you know, middle linebacker that they all overpaid for, you know, he jumps on fourth and one. It's embarrassing. I tell you the truth, I'd fire Olbrich this morning.
It wasn't even fourth and one, though, Ira. It was fourth and three. That was like that. That was the goal of what they were trying to do. I didn't even know if they were going to go for it there.
Oh, right, the draw, right. The fourth and one was the bad call that they overturned, which was also ridiculous. But it's, you know, it's unfortunate that this defense, they're lucky that they got the Saints coming in, and we'll talk about this later in the week. I mean, I don't care who plays quarterback for the Saints. Do you think there's any shot that Sean Payton isn't going to devise that Kamara comes back, some type of game plan that Salah's not going to outcoach Sean Payton next week? It's never going to happen.
No chance.
Never going to happen.
No. I mean, there's no excuse for that, too. And then, I mean, Mosley saying that Fletcher Cox was laughing at them. No respect. He's laughing at your head coach. You didn't prepare for Gardner Minshew. I mean, Minshew started that first two possessions, 8 for 8, 125 yards and 2 TDs. Come on, man.
And thanks for the call, Ira. And Goddard just, I mean, wide open. I mean, did you not game plan for him either? Did you not know he was going to play in the game?
Apparently not. Because, I mean, that first half was...
What would you realistically...
You may as well not even have anyone on the field.
What would you say the Eagles' offense is? Like, realistically, like, middle of the road at best?
At best.
With the backup quarterback, middle of the road at best. And they looked like they were an elite offense. I mean, up and they scored on every single possession except for one yesterday.
Well, you know what? I'll tell you what play, though. What really aggravated me, the one possession that aggravated me the most all game, and I could probably point to something in every possession, but when your favorite wide receiver, for all the help he gave you last week.
Jalen Reagor, yeah.
Lets the kickoff go over his head, thinking it's going to go in the end zone. And it bounces at the 1-yard line. And they go down the they go right down the field. Right down the field and score a touchdown.
They had no trouble at all.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.